It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferrett. You're with us here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. There's a developing story of a mass shooting in San Bernardino, California. We'll keep you updated on the latest in our headlines and news breaks from National Public Radio.
First, President Obama is back from Paris, but the climate talks will continue for another week. It's our weekly look at the latest in national politics with Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538.
Also this week, Congress is working on a funding bill just 9 days before the federal government runs out of money. Democrats have nixed Republicans' first proposal, a proposal saying it's not serious. Also, the latest polls continue to show Donald Trump in the lead among Republican candidates, Ben Carson falling well behind now. Harry, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Let's start with these climate negotiations. President was there to kick off the week. What did he say? What were his goals with this conference?
So essentially, you know, this is breaking off of the Kyoto Treaty that was passed a long time ago that the United States Congress would not sign on to. And Obama really wants to have a legally binding mechanism to ensure that worldwide we decrease our carbon emissions. And so that's what he really wants to get out of this conference, is he wants each of the countries to agree that there's going to be some legal mechanism in place. There's going to be a clear sort of guideline tracking progress and seeing and ensuring that these countries reduce their carbon output.
Now, here at home, Congress this week, by coincidence or maybe not, has, or at least the House, has taken a stab at some of his existing efforts, voting against some of what he's already done using executive authority. So what message are we seeing from Congress on this?
Yeah, they're basically saying that if you're going to ask for our approval on a treaty with regards to other countries reducing carbon emissions, you better think again. You're not going to get our approval. This was a clear message by voting against some of his executive actions, saying we want no part of this. Republicans do not care about this. In fact, if you look at the polling, there was a recent poll out today from Quinnipiac that showed 0% of Republicans thought that climate change was a top priority. 0%. Not a single respondent in the poll. Republicans want nothing to do with this at all.
So can the president commit to anything really significant in this conference without, with no hope of congressional backing on it?
This is the real tricky question. If it's thought of as a treaty, then no, he can't really back anything if they're going to make specific carbon emission deals, you know, saying this is the level of which we'd have to get behind. He's not going to get support for a treaty. However, what he's hoping is, instead of saying, okay, this is the level of which we need to reach, instead, we're going to try and put forth the mechanism that would penalize the countries without actually saying which point they would be penalized. It's a very confusing situation, and I expect that we'll see some tussling back and forth and perhaps even some court cases where people say, can Obama do this unilaterally without congressional approval? It's unclear at this point.
And a lot of this may depend on who the next president is and whether they'll stick with commitments that the president makes. How is climate change featuring, if at all, in the 2016 election?
Right. So on the Democratic side, you know, it is an issue that is of some importance. It, in fact, rates with terrorism. It's about the same percentage of Democrats who say terrorism is the top issue as they do say climate change is the top issue when it comes to their vote. So it shouldn't be surprising as we see the Democratic debates going forward. We should hear Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, and Martin O'Malley talking about climate change a lot. On the Republican side, as I hinted out earlier, however, there really is no discussion here. Voters do not care. In fact, if you were to come and say that I support that, I believe climate change is a top issue, a top priority, in fact, could lose you votes in a Republican primary.
Staying with that Republican primary now, some changes in the polls. Ben Carson was up at the top or top two for a while there. A big slipping for him in some of the most recent national and I think Iowa polls, too.
Yeah, so if we look today, there was a Quinnipiac poll that had him dropping from a clear second place. And in fact, there were a few polls that had him in the top spot over Trump, but dropping from that first, second place to now being in a fight for second or third or fourth, depending on where exactly he falls with Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. He was only at 16% in the Quinnipiac poll that was out today. He had been previously in the low to mid 20s. But it's not just that he's falling in the horse race. His favorability ratings are also dropping. He used to be the most liked candidate in the field. Now that distinction belongs to Marco Rubio, as Carson's favorability ratings have dropped significantly. And in Iowa as well, where he was leading, and now it seems that Ted Cruz is in fact the main challenger with Donald Trump.
Talking to Harry Enten from 538 about the top national news stories in the world of politics. So Ben Carson fitting a pattern we've seen in past elections. Somebody emerges on the Republican side. They're in the limelight. They do well in the polls. Then they fade. It's happened to a lot of people. Donald Trump stayed at the top of the polls, keeps staying at the top of the polls. He's defying that gravity we've seen in past elections.
Every day that Donald Trump stays atop the polls, the heart muscles beat a little harder among analysts like myself, who expected that Trump by this point would probably be back on the television gravy train of doing some reality television show. But he has stayed on top. Now, he hasn't really risen very much. He sort of stayed in the mid-20s. His numbers have been fairly stable everywhere. But it's fairly clear at this point that we shouldn't expect the next poll, national poll, to come out, or even the one after that, to show Trump falling. We'll see, though, if he can actually stay on top as votes actually get cast in Iowa and New Hampshire. That's going to be key. If he can win Iowa, all bets are off, and you know what? We may be eating big humble pie if he can win in Iowa, but that's far, far away at this point.
And this is after a week of media coverage of some unusual Trump news, negative comments about Muslims. People have challenged the truth of a lot of his comments on that issue, apparently making fun of a handicapped reporter. There's been a lot of Trump stories that for a mainstream establishment candidate would be poison, and yet he's staying up at the top of the polls.
You know, I would say two things. One, what's remarkable about Trump is that he doesn't apologize for anything. You know, if a mainstream establishment candidate said what Trump said, he'd apologize immediately, and I think people would recognize, his supporters would recognize, ooh, he said something that's bad, wrong, we don't like that. But Trump doesn't apologize at all. He gives no reason for his supporters to believe that he said anything wrong. And in fact, you could take some lessons from some things outside of politics. You could look at sports. You could look at something like Lance Armstrong, where his favorable ratings among cycling fans stayed relatively high even when all the allegations came out that he was doping. But it wasn't until he admitted he was doping that his favorability ratings dropped. So for Trump, the mere fact that he's not admitting anything, saying that he's done anything wrong, may be the thing that's keeping him up in top right now.
Quick look at another candidate, Chris Christie, lurking toward the bottom of the top pack of 10 or so a lot of the times. Some good news for him in the second state, New Hampshire, in the primary.
No one has spent more time visiting the state of New Hampshire than Chris Christie. And it seems that it's maybe paying off. He got the endorsement of the New Hampshire Union Leader, which is the largest newspaper in that state. And historically, that endorsement has come with an increase in support in the polls. That didn't happen last time with Newt Gingrich. But this is just the latest sign of some momentum for him in that state. He's also gotten the endorsements of some key people on the ground there. So we'll see if he's able to actually, you know, take that support as well as rising favorabilities in the polls and actually start getting better poll numbers in the horse race and the top line numbers against Trump. But right now he's still only polling at 5%. But let's see where he is in a week or two. If there's one person at this point to keep an eye on New Hampshire, it's Christie.
Turning back to Congress, about 9 days now till the federal government runs out of money in some technical sense. What would Congress have to do in the next week or so to prevent that happening?
Well, I mean, they'd essentially have to sign an omnibus or they'd have to sign some sort of stopgap measure. It does not seem, however, that there will be any sort of shutdown. Even if, you know, the Republicans offered their first sort of omnibus package and Democrats said this wasn't serious, they're going to get together, they're going to talk. They're going to talk about different things that might be holding it up. For instance, there were a whole bunch of environmental add-ons to the bill that Democrats really, really didn't like. Republicans will probably either tone those down or get rid of them. And even if they can't come to an agreement within the next week or so, they're just going to pass some sort of stopgap measure. There's no talk of a shutdown at this time. Of course, we'll see where we are in a week. We've said this before. Oh, they won't shut it down, and then they did shut it down. But at this point, a shutdown looks considerably less likely than it has been in the past.
Another sticking point I've seen is restrictions on refugees, especially from Iraq and Syria, whether that should be in this funding thing or not. Is that something that's sort outable in Congress?
I think it's absolutely sort outable. At this point, you know, if you talk with Republicans, they'll say that maybe we were a little quick to jump and pass this what some might call an anti-refugee bill, or at least, you know, making it much more difficult for refugees from Syria and Iraq to get into the United States. They're thinking twice about that and looking at other ways in which they could protect against people coming into this country that might do some harm. So I don't think it will stand in the way. I think Republicans realize that there's no chance of that getting passed. So why fight for it when you can fight for something else, such as the visa waiver program, in which people are able to get in this country much more easily, and tightening those restrictions? That's probably a much better path forward to them, and they'll probably pursue that in the upcoming few days and weeks ahead.
We'll check in with you in precisely 1 week. Harry, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks again for having me.
That's Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. He joins us every week at this time with the latest in national politics.